Hello, you're listening to
Spoiler
Filled
Film.
Conversation.
Hooray!
Hooray.
Why do I always come in first? And you can't.
Because you're the most enthusiastic.
Yeah, it's your choice. That's why you're so enthusiastic this week, because you picked the film Speed Racer, didn't you, Ollie?
I did. I did. I picked this movie. I was very happy with it. I may be the only one, and now I'm looking ahead into the corner and bracing myself.
Well, the other people who are here are Jamie,
Hello.
Anthony,
Hi.
and myself, Richard. And Abigail is not with us because technical difficulties, but she's replaced even better, really. I can't say that.
Have you replaced her with a simulacrum?
What is a simulacrum?
Some kind of artificial life form which can spout her opinions without her needing to be here.
If you mean piece of paper with her opinions on, then yes, she has been. She is in the form of her opinions on a piece of paper. So, guys, we're here to talk about Speed Racer or have our opinions read out about Speed Racer. Where do we? I guess we have to begin with someone explaining who's in it and what it is. Jamie?
Okay. All right, Speed Racer is directed or was directed by the Wachowskis, who are probably best known for the Matrix trilogy, or if you're into good films, The Matrix, and you discount the sequels. It was made in 2008, and the summary here, because it's, I don't know, it's kind of hard to summarize, because you want to, even if you don't enjoy it, you still want to talk about everything in it.
Sure.
Just from IMDb, a young driver, speed racer, aspires to be the champion of the racing world with the help of his family and his high-tech Mach 5 automobile. It stars Emile Hirsch, Matthew Fox, Christina Ricci, and also Susan Sarandon, and happily John Goodman.
Okay, good.
And John Goodman's mustache.
And yeah.
Has that
Is it
got a
real?
separate credit?
Yeah, did he
He
grow that, or was
deserves
that
one.
like fake, like a wig for his lip?
Whipple. Hey.
I've got no idea, but he does have a history of doing that. Just
Mustaches.
no, just
Considering everything else in this film, it was probably fake.
Okay.
But yeah, he doesn't mind growing ponytails and
Yeah,
doing funny hair for roles, so it
it
could
looked a
well be
bit.
his mustache.
The mustache looked a bit action figure-y, I thought.
It looked like an action figure.
No, it looked like the one that you would have painted on an action figure.
What
Like it
action
looked kind of
figures did you
shiny.
have?
I had Mario Bob Hoskins action
Well,
figure
see,
when I was
that
a
would be why. I think that's a bit
kid.
biased.
Okay.
We're not talking about that movie today.
I
We're
know.
here to talk about the zany, wacky, over-the-top, bright colours, seizure-inducing Speed Racer. Ollie, why did you pick this film for us to watch?
Because I felt that it fell right into the film bin criteria of movies which have been either misjudged or unfairly treated or forgotten, and because I liked it, so I
Sure.
thought it was a good movie.
How did you come about seeing it the first time?
The first time I'd wanted to see it for ages, simply because I thought I'd heard odd and mixed things about it, and I thought it was time to actually watch it and then work out for myself whether it actually was good or not, especially when you consider that most critics are pretty much terrible at working out what's good or not anyway.
Sure, so you had curious expectations going in.
Yes.
Other people, Jamie, what did you think coming in? What were you expecting from this film? Had you seen it or anything before or whatever?
The only stuff I'd heard about it was the negative stuff. Because that seems to be reasonably universal. Like it really did seem to get panned when it initially came out, and I remember that. My expectations were pretty low because of that, and also because I'm not a huge fan of the Wachowskis. I've seen the Matrix trilogy, and I didn't like it that much. I didn't even really like the first one, particularly. There's
Sure.
just such, there's something about their style that just rubs me up the wrong way. Like like they're just throwing everything in as enthusiastically as they can. So I kind of was expecting this to be It was weird. I was expecting it to be over the top and was actually surprised at how over the top it was. So
that's good, in my opinion. If you expected it and it still was, wow, this is crazy and jam-packed full of stuff and colours and cheese.
I felt like after I'd watched it, I might need to visit a doctor afterwards.
That's the authentic Japanese influences coming through. Because it's you know, based on an anime. Yeah. That's why it has to be that.
And I know about Speed Racer. I've seen bits, but I'd never watched it when I was a kid.
Fair enough. I hadn't either. Anthony?
I was a little more familiar with the cartoon. And I have to say, even though it's fairly poor, I always found it quite endearing and enjoyable. But the reasons why I liked it couldn't possibly translate into a film. So I was going in maybe not expecting much. Plus, again, with the Wachowskis, they're very hit and miss. Like, The Matrix is good. Have you seen Bound? Anyone seen Bound? That's pretty good.
I remember Bound.
No.
I remember liking that. But usually when they have too many effects, they start to go a bit awry. And this film looked like it was all effect, which it is. So
yeah,
I wasn't expecting much.
Sure. It passed me by. I mean, when it came out, I vaguely understood that it maybe didn't do that well, but it was kind of a kid's film anyway, so it didn't interest me that much. And when Ollie suggested it, I was like, okay, and let's just see. I was kind of like unsure what it would be. Suspected it might fall in the category of poor, otherwise it would have been a massive hit or something. But I don't know. I hadn't even seen the cartoon. The closest I came to it is I liked the Wacky Racers as a kid, but it's not quite the same thing, Speed Racer, Wacky Racers. And I kind of wanted it to be a bit more Wacky Racer-y, I guess.
It was more like, it reminded me of the game F-Zero.
Yeah, yeah, I had that.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
It is a lot like that. Where do we begin with Speed Racer, the movie, 2008? I think we should just start with our main character, Speed Racer. He couldn't have more of a name destined to make, you know, it's like being called Cook Baker or something. He was destined to be a race car driver and is obsessed with race car driving from his childhood.
He looked a little too much like the actual cartoon character, and that scared me a little.
Oh, you mean the kid?
Yeah.
The kid or Emil Hirsch?
Well, Emil Hirsch.
Okay.
I see. The young kid. No, yeah. The actual guy.
The actual they mostly do look quite similar. All of the characters are like, that is more or less how they look.
That's actually the kid thing was my first problem with this film was they went out of their way to find really, really bad child actors. All the childhood stuff at the start just drove me up the wall. It was like, the little British girl taunting Trixie about, and just the way she talked was, and the fight between Speed and the fat kid with the sheriff's badge.
Right, you're not a fan of cheesy camp because you did like Super Mario Brothers, Jamie.
But I really have a problem with bad kid actors because when they're bad, they're usually really bad.
Ollie, did you like the kid actor playing it, or was it when you got into it and it started? Was it straight away you were enjoying it, or was it like a slow burn to get in, or what?
No, I liked it pretty much from the beginning. I didn't have any problems with the kid actors.
Okay, well, I don't know. All I could think is the character of Speed Racer is not a good role model for kids because it's basically doesn't matter if you're good at school or not. As long as you're obsessed with something and just love it so much that you become good, it's okay. Which is a sort of okay message, but not the best, you know, I don't know.
And well, love it so much that you get hurt, like he did at one point.
But not care, though. He doesn't care.
Yeah. Well, the beginning isn't really supposed to be about Speed Racer. It's supposed to be about his brother, anyway.
Sexy Rex.
I don't remember him being referred to as that. Rex is what I recall. If you got the name Racer, that's your surname. Do you name your kid Speed? Is that something everyone else would do?
Do you name your kid Spritel or Rex? I've got no idea.
That's true.
But then we don't
Rex
really know
isn't too bad.
We don't really know what Pops and Mom's names are anyway. They're just called Pops and Mom.
And everyone calls them that. I think that's okay
yes.
though.
Yes, everybody calls them that. I think their names might legally be Pops and Mom Racer.
Well, as we get introduced to the whole Racer family, how did you guys react? We know that maybe not that fond of the kid actors from some of us. I had no real care at that point. What do we think of the Racers, anyone?
They're very well cast.
Yeah, because, you know, they're like visually and kind of act a bit like the characters in the cartoon, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, whenever you put John Goodman in any role, he always anchors it with his gravity of being a great big...
being so big, or his ability to
his
act.
Literal gravity.
No, he has this kind of gravitas thing. You always believe John Goodman in anything he's in.
I'm struggling to think of a bad role, even in like the Flintstone movie. I kind of like.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, he is the highlight of the Flintstones movie, which I think actually. There's a similarity between this and the Flintstones in that it really goes for being as much like the cartoon as possible. Just like properly trying to recreate it in a kind of in the flesh kind of way. And they both have John Goodman in, and he's, you know, like I thought he was the most enjoyable thing in this, and he was in the Flintstones too.
Yeah. Does everyone agree? Would everyone say he did a good job?
I don't think it's possible for John Goodman to do a bad job.
No.
I don't know. I think there might have been one or two lines that I would have been critical of, but then given the kind of characters they are.
You mean the ninja line?
Oh, I don't know.
I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but that fight scene with him and the ninjas was so good because that's how I imagined John Goodman would fight if he got a fight.
Yeah, I will say, I think it's okay we jump ahead, because I think one of the interesting things to talk about is I wasn't quite on board with this from the get-go, but when they had a scene later on in the film where all of the family fight ninjas, it was amazing. And that kind of got me back on board, where I was feeling a little bit bored of the I Love Racing thing that it's trying to be, you know?
The other similarity to the Flintstones that I thought of was... The plot for a kid's for something that's so obviously a kid's movie, every now and again the plot got a bit like complex. Like there was conspiracies and stuff to do with fixing races and all this stuff, and like a kid's really gonna be following this, and it's like the Flintstones with its plot of embezzlement and unions and strike action.
I think, yeah, that's an interesting point with the Flintstones especially. It's like, really, kids don't get this. But I think because it's a kind of, it's almost like a pantomime kind of approach to it, I would argue it doesn't matter whether the kids understand. It was so telegraphed that the bad corporation guy was a bad corporation guy.
You knew from the instant you saw him almost sexually eating pancakes. You know,
to be fair. If you're born with that man's voice, you can only play villains.
You're going
to
be an army politician, aren't you?
he has such a wonderful voice. It was just like, bathing in it all the way through the film.
That's good. Well, it's good we've touched on him, because it's kind of back to the start of the film.
Yeah.
You're introduced to all the characters in Speed Racer, the family of racers, which is, two parents and, an older kid who's now... I don't know. There's a bit of a back history to Rex that I don't know if it's that exciting to talk about. And, you know, but basically, the start of the film is Speed has grown up. He's a great racer, duh. I mean, he was destined to be or obsessed with it. And so there's all the sponsors and established racing brands want to buy him up. And then we get our main evil bad guy come in and try and seduce the family into... letting Speed race for him. Is that right?
Yeah,
pretty much.
And we've been starting to say how we really... Who is the actor who is in that role as the main bad guy? What's his name? Name, actually?
He deserves mention.
His name is Roger Allam. He is mostly a theatrical actor, although he has a few film credits. And... Notable ones we have are... He was in V for Vendetta.
Yeah, as a sort of evil politician in that. Well, sort of... that sort of and thing.
He was in Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Yeah, and he's quite good in the thick of it as well, the like political comedy that airs in Britain.
Yeah, he only really has film credits from 2005.
Well, I liked the way he did it, though. I liked the camp, over-the-top villain that he was.
Well, that's the way you have to do it, really. There's no half measures on a role like that. You either go silent and mean, or you go panto big. There's no in-between.
It's quite a fast... like Abby was commenting when we were watching it that they cover a lot of ground story-wise because it is basically the movie equivalent of a constant montage.
Yeah.
They have this... They jam a lot of story in and you develop it really quickly. And within the first 20 minutes, you've known and learnt a lot about the family and the backstory. And,
I think the first 15 to 20 minutes was probably the strongest part of the film. It definitely got me sucked in. I was enjoying the visuals for the most part, and enjoyed the pace. And I kind of got it, if you know what I mean. Having seen Speed Racer before, I kind of like got it, if you know what I mean, what they were trying to achieve.
The aesthetic really fits with the cartoon mentality, doesn't it? The way it's the colours cranked up all the way. Everything is designed to be really contrasting and like rainbow colours and stuff.
It was the first film, I think, that was shot in a way that let the background and foreground be in focus all the time, which is why part of how it's so kind of sharp and colourful, because there's no... There's no depth of field or distance. Everything is in your face.
Yeah. And not only that, but everything is sliding across the screen all the time.
Yeah.
It's really... weirdly chosen moments from actors like pulling faces to like tell you what they're thinking. They just slide past really weirdly at times, and other times it's like a really nice dynamic way to show the racing and the various sequences. So I think, what do you guys think then of generally this idea that everything's intensely coloured in focus and sort of dynamically sliding across, and there's lots of wipes and, you know, and it's quite a, everything's moving all the time. You know, what do you guys make of that? What about you, Ollie? You're the champion of this.
Well, I really like this movie. I enjoyed all the editing and the swipes and the things. It was really, really fast, and I didn't have to... Normally, I have to slow down to enjoy a movie.
Yeah, but for some reason, this one worked for you?
Well, yes, because I didn't have to slow down to enjoy it. I could just take it at my usual pace.
Okay, so you agree that it was an effective element of the film. Anthony?
I'll give the Wachowskis one thing. They are ambitious in their movie choices. I mean, you take stuff like this, The Matrix, like Cloud Atlas.
Sure.
They might all be... Some of them might be flawed.
They're not safe
They're
bets.
Ambitious. And they put a lot of effort into making their films. And I think that definitely shows through.
Yeah, it wasn't slapdash.
Yeah, especially with this film, like... being more familiar with Speed Racer myself, you can see like the affection for like the source material coming through.
Okay. You say that as if you also thought, I don't know if I liked it. Like you say, I compliment them, but you seem like you maybe didn't like it that much, or?
No, it was... They tried to make it into a Saturday morning cartoon.
It was very like Lazy Town.
And the main thing about a Saturday morning cartoon is it's 20 minutes long.
Sure.
Not 2 hours, 15.
Bit much.
And I think the problem is this hour is 45 minutes too long.
Okay. What about you, Jamie? Do you get on with the what I would consider quite nauseating at times, your slidey imagery and things?
I think there were times when it worked. There were times when the pace worked.
I agree.
One of the scenes that stuck out for me in terms of this was the bit that I mentioned earlier about, I can't remember his name now, but is it Roger Allam, the actor, the one who plays the villain?
Roger Allam, yes.
His scene where he explains how racing is fixed and he goes into the entire history of it, and that it's told in such a way that there's like flashbacks and different images and stuff that, you know, to tell the story, as well as him just talking at a very fast pace. That actually, I paid the most attention to that more than anything else. But the problem with it was too wordy for a kid's film, so it was punctuated with these scenes of that little fat kid and his chimp eating sweets and generally being really annoying. It was like as if to say, well, we can't trust kids to pay attention, so we're going to have to shove some stupid jokes in here as well, which I kind of understand, but it. But scenes like that where the pace and the unusual visual style was used to tell the story kind of worked, whereas in the actual race scenes, which make up a lot of the film,
sure,
I got really, really bored. Like, it just, you know, there was no sense of real tension because I was just watching somebody else play a video game. I was watching four other people play F-Zero on the Nintendo 64.
It is.
And the races would go on a lot of the time for so long, and so much would happen at once. Like, it's like the film has attention deficit disorder, and everything is happening all in one go. And because there's the thing where everything's in focus, there's no depth of field, it is as if everything is happening at exactly the same time. It's like they came up with everything at once and then just threw it at the screen.
It is quite intense.
And again, as Anthony said, for like half an hour, maybe that would have been okay, or even an hour and a half. But for 2 hours and 15 minutes, it's just, you feel a bit sick at the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, take the pace of the first, 15 minutes of the film. Is, I think, you know, if they kept that up, it could have worked. But the film is far too long, and the pace dips too low sometimes.
Yeah.
Are any of you guys racing fans anyway?
No.
No.
Oliver?
I like Mario Kart.
Car racing.
No, just in general. Because I don't think any of us are Formula One watchers, or just is there any kind of car racing-y thing? Is there kind of movies, anything racing that you like usually, or is this a kind of unusual choice for you?
This is an unusual choice for me. I can't think of anything else.
What about stuff like Herbie? Do you like those films?
No.
Oh, fair enough. So this was just, it happens to be about racing, and you sort of clung on to it a bit and enjoyed the campness, or what?
I like the racing in it. It's not fair to say I don't like Herbie. I've seen The Love Bug and things, and I didn't hate them, I just don't watch them.
But they're not about racing, per se.
No.
I just liked it. It was an enjoyable experience.
Okay.
Much better than Cars, the other racing movie I can think of.
Yeah, that's quite.
Don't even go towards Cars, people.
No fans of Cars on the podcast today.
No.
George Carlin was in it.
Nothing really.
No, that's about all it's got going for it.
It was okay. It was just unremarkable.
Because I'm finding myself agreeing with Jamie on the parts with the racing in, particularly. Even though there's so much going on, you should be blown away, it should be a spectacle, I just found it uninteresting because I couldn't watch it properly. It was just sort of a mess of it was color and noise and visual mess.
I can't even imagine kids enjoying it, because it almost seems like they thought, well, kids like a bunch of stuff happening all at once because they've got no attention span. Let's throw stuff at them.
Yeah.
And I would imagine a kid getting really bored by those scenes because there's no real hook.
Sure. And it's not like say the Wacky Races cartoon, where you're watching gags unfold and you can see the road and you can see what's going on and what's coming up and watching them avoid each other.
It all happens so fast that there's very little setup to the things that do actually happen. So they just sort of happen and you're thinking, oh, what? I can't keep up.
Well, I think you're radically underrating the ability of kids to appreciate
attention spans.
Appreciate fast things. It's like when people think that kids won't be able to handle board games, and actually they pick it up really quickly.
No, it's not the idea that they wouldn't be able to handle it. If anything, I feel they're almost patronizing their audience a little bit, because I think kids have better attention spans than this film assumes they have.
Yeah, I mean, either way, right? Not to assume what kids are like. I think for me, I didn't engage with the racing. I'm not a big fan of watching racing, and then this should have been amazing because it's much more exciting. There's kids spinning and crashing, and like weapons being used. It should be like the best video game ever to watch. But I felt I might have a go with this game if there was a speed racer game. I might want to play it. But watching it was very much, whatever. I don't even understand. And the weird thing they did for me was they'd have conversations with each other, and whenever you showed the actor in the car, it would be very, very obvious that they're not in a car. And they didn't even try and make it seem like they could possibly be in these sci-fi cars that are spinning out of control. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that would have been my thing. Like, the racing scenes were probably the biggest time where the CG is really, it kind of brings you out of it.
But you couldn't do it realistically.
CG. True. But my other problem with all the racing scenes is there's just too much of it. So after a while, it's all the same.
Yeah.
There's nothing remarkable about it after a while.
It would be like if episode one of Star Wars was all pod racing.
Yeah.
Although that is a fun game. Everyone played this, but never.
Oh, yeah, that was the best. That game was the best thing to come out of the Star Wars prequels.
Right. Let's not get on. I want to move off the visuals and racing and go back to some of the story then. The main thing story-wise is it's a tale of defying race fix, like the established racing circuit is supposed to be fixed by the big corporations, and it's about one kid's struggle to show that he is better than just being bought and not cheating and all that stuff. Did anyone like? Oh, I don't know. Like, it's, I don't want to really just ask you guys questions all the time.
So, did we all spot Shaft?
What? That, yeah. The actor Shaft.
Yeah.
Richard Roundtree.
Was he one of the racer guy who may or may not have been fixed?
Yes, that was him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Shaft.
That's a nice little spot there. Well done. I didn't notice.
Oh, sorry, what was your question? Do it again. put in some more enthusiasm.
So guys, I don't know, I can't fake it. Right. Plot wise, thoughts on the plot?
I thought it was, I don't know, I think the plot was too bad actually. I think the weakness of the film was that, as weird as it sounds, because the film is Speed Racer, there was too much racing, and the actual plot wasn't, like, it wasn't great. And like I said, it was a little bit maybe too much for, like, I couldn't tell what age range of kids they were aiming at. Sometimes it seemed like they were trying to go for, like, really little kids.
Sure.
Particularly with, I can't remember the kid's name, Spritel. And the chimp.
Chim-chim.
Yeah, that's it. And like, and some of the fight scenes, like particularly with him in, there's my least favourite scene of the film, where the British gangsters and the whole family all fight each other in the mountains.
That was the best scene. What are you talking about?
That was amazing.
No, it just looked awful.
It looked amazing. You're insane.
There's only one really bad fighting image. There's one thing which really jars me, which is when John Goodman is twirling the ninja. That looked really, really bad for some reason. But otherwise,
it's all so ridiculous.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it worked because it was so ridiculous.
It wasn't the ridiculousness of the fight in the mountains. It was just how it looked. Like, I just thought it just looked visually really unpleasant to me. Like, I really did not like the way that scene just
was
designed.
I reckon you could have taken that whole race out of the film, and like, it would have been improved like to no end.
It's a bit weird that in the middle of the race they all sort of meet up, have a pit stop, and then the British gangsters turn up out of nowhere. And what ridiculous, ugly bowler hat wearing British gangsters they all were! Is it Crusher Block that the main guy is, Ollie?
No, he's one of the guys from the cartoon.
I swear the British guy was called Crusher Block in the movie.
Really?
Oh, he was. He was. The secondary villain was called Crusher Block.
Does anyone know if he looks like that in the cartoon?
No, he doesn't. He's a fairly... That's from the That's from one of the two cartoons I watched on YouTube last week, Crusher Block. He's a fairly standard suit-wearing gangster type.
Yeah, and I think, well, I think it was that character, whether or not you like the interpretation or not. But it was really weird, because they during one of the races, they do just have this pit stop where they fight the gangsters. And it is just, what? I don't understand why this is happening.
It's like sometimes, as far as the plot goes, like there's so much racing going on. It's like they remembered. Oh yeah, there was a story. We're gonna have to like dip out of the race for a bit and remind everyone of what's actually going on.
Yeah.
But I thought the story itself was okay. The weird thing was, even though I was very uninvolved from a lot of the racing. When it actually got to the
When you say you weren't involved in this at all, Jamie. You were watching it.
Well, you know.
Engaged, right. Go on.
Yeah, engaged. And when it actually got to the final race.
Sure.
Once it got past the part that you're supposed to care about, where he has that like rivalry with the guy who's going to be like a world record holder or something, and he takes him out. When it gets to like the very end of the race, where he's just about to win and then he wins, I actually found myself kind of pleased. Like, and then I thought, oh, I have actually been kind of engaged by this, and like was surprised when the plot pays off and the villain gets like sent to prison and stuff, and Speed gets the, they get the trophy and he drinks the milk, which is weird. I actually cared a little bit when that happened, and I was quite glad that he won, and then I was kind of surprised at myself.
It suckered you in despite you thinking, I'm not really feeling this, and you actually started to, the inner child in you was
so there must have been something done right that was so subtle that I wasn't aware of it.
Well, that's good. I'm kind of surprised you say that, right? Because it was at that point where I was going, I don't care anymore. It became in the final race where you kind of know what's going to happen anyway, but then it becomes like a big hallucinogenic, weird. He keeps having flashbacks to all of the things people have said to him. Yeah. It's all swirling colours, and it was just like, I'm going blind. What's going on?
I'm a sucker for like any sort of pathos and sentimentality, though. So it doesn't matter how broad and colourful it is, it can draw me in.
How did you take to the ending, Anthony?
The same as you, Rich. I up until when his car stalls.
Yeah.
I was with it, but then after that, when he has his moment, like, can I hear what the car is telling me moment.
Yeah, he sort of molests it with it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. After that, and then like the whole, well, because you know where it's going to go. You know he's going to win. I think they pushed it too much with like the pathos and all the flashbacks. And I don't know, I totally lost it then.
It became personally a bit over the top. It went full. It had to kind of up itself.
It became over the top.
It went from over the top and colourful and mad to just absolutely insane. Like, he sort of gets sucked into a checkerboard vortex. And like all the flashing cameras are going off. It's like, ah! It's like if I had like photosensitive epilepsy, I would have died by now.
I actually thought this is kind of dangerous to go and see in the cinema.
Maybe.
Oh, that's one thing about the whole film. Was it just me, or I don't know? It seemed to be glorifying blowing up cars and essentially
in a sort of computer game character. Like, if it was in a computer game, it's kind of normal, isn't it? But in a film, it seems somewhat out of place.
Yeah, I didn't notice it until like right at the end in the last race. But like Speed Racer was like making cars like blow up and go off the road, and I don't know. There was just this atmosphere of triumph, and it's just like, this doesn't really feel right with him causing possible fatalities.
No, they all.
Okay, no one was actually dying because they were all in their little bubbles. But I don't know. There was a sense of like, Go Speed Racer, that was a good move by potentially almost killing two drivers. I don't know. It didn't work for me.
Well, it's very interesting, especially the whole colours thing, because I don't understand what's going on. I guess I'm not sensitive to visual disturbances or anything, but I guess this is a problem of maybe being jaded with movies a bit and seeing the same plot lots and lots of times, because I didn't have a problem with the colours or the swirling or anything.
Sure. Strange. I mean, you had Jamie on board. I mean, he was saying he was suckered in by this ending. So, you know, it's worked for you and him.
I actually will defend it a little bit more as well. I liked it when it got more surreal, you know, when Ichigo went into the vortex and then the flashbulbs looked all kind of cartoony and like almost like flashing wallpaper. I actually thought, wow, that's quite interesting. Why haven't you been doing stuff that surreal all the way through the film? I would have been much more involved. Like if the races had been more abstract.
Yeah, I think it could have helped a little bit if it hadn't been quite such a family kids movie that in the typical sort of the underdog triumphs kind of thing. I think if it had been a little more, I don't know, just not been so worried about staying on focus with being typical family fodder, it might have been a much more interesting movie. Because I think I'm just too old to appreciate a nice story about a kid winning a race and his family being all happy. You know, it's kind of like it's too... I've seen this in many different guises.
You wanted someone to die.
No, I didn't want someone to die. I think it was important that no one did die, because they had some amazing moments where there was like a few themed races. When they started to have some interesting battles in the sort of off-road like sequence earlier on, I was like, yeah, this is really cool. I like seeing the Viking guy and the weird twins in their cars, and I'm glad they're not dying, because it would be just terrifying. They get this weird, it's some weird bubble thing happens around. I didn't understand that. Does anyone care to explain how the bubble thing works?
Well, certainly within the arena races, there was some kind of effect which protected people when their cars were critically damaged or blown up in some way.
Yeah.
Was that happening in the off road as well?
Yeah, I think it was.
Because
the guy with the moustache survives a couple of times.
Okay, that's good, because in that sense, it's like a video game where, you know, kids play video games where they smash each other up and you know, like even like Mario Kart is about hitting each other and like blowing each other up and it's okay because, you know, no one dies. It's just a bit of fun. And I think in that sense, this movie's allowed to do that because it's just a kids movie. It's not gonna be able to. But then I say it's okay. But then his brother Rex did die, and they've got the whole subplot about is it Racer X? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or
Rex. Oh no, Racer X, not X. So Racer X is not his brother, but he is his brother, and it's that. It was weird. Is at the moment where you go, okay, he's obviously going to be his brother. Oh, it's not. He's not his brother. And then later on, he is. But I haven't told my family it's me. So they live with the tragedy still. Is that not weird anyone else out?
Well,
a little bit, but that's because I knew it was his brother from watching the cartoon. I think they made it kind of pointless by just like throwing it in at the end.
Maybe.
I guess so, but they might have been sequel baiting.
Yeah, I kind of got that impression that it was like, oh, maybe we'll make another one, and then everyone went, no.
Yeah, I guess that was actually explained why it just struck a little pointless at the end. But I thought I thought it was nice, in fact, because you're kind of like, yes, we all know it's his brother, and it's like the fact that they didn't just play it that way was like, oh, you've actually surprised me. It wasn't what I was thinking, which is what it tells you to think, really.
Actually reminds me of something that happens earlier in the film that, like, threw me for a loop. I was really surprised. Coming back to the exposition scene where the villain explains the whole fixing thing, he goes into what's going to happen to Speed if he doesn't sign.
Yeah.
And it's structured in a really weird way. It's like Memento for kids. As he tells it, it happens, and then it goes back to it not having happened yet, and then jumps forward again to it having happened, and then he says this is exactly what you said would happen, and we've seen it already.
It was a bit confusing.
I thought that's quite a clever way of covering something that would have just taken up more runtime, but at the same time thought, a kid's going to keep up with that? Because that's a bit like...
Stop worrying about the kids, Jamie. Worry about yourself.
All right.
No,
sorry,
I thought
that was quite clever, but I don't know if it works for a kids film.
I agree with you. That scene had the same kind of flair and pace that the first like 15 minutes had.
Yeah.
And I
was quite impressed by that.
Yeah, if they could have kept that up for a whole film, not a whole two and a quarter hour film,
yeah.
A whole an hour and a half film, I thought this could have been a totally amazing film.
Yeah, but if it had been more consistent pace-wise and a lot shorter, then yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the things people might enjoy in it is fabulously camp. It doesn't really hold back with its... all the dialogue is delivered in a sort of wholesome and yet over the top way. It's quite melodramatic and it is fiendishly OTT and just amazingly indulgent in its own cartoony universe.
The whole film can be summarized by Spridel and the chimp indulging in breaking into that place and the sweet cabinet and eating all the sweets to the point where they pass out on the floor. That is basically the whole film. That's exactly what this film is.
Yeah, I found myself sometimes enjoying the kid and the monkey and their bits. Like, there's a good bit at the end where they have the schmaltzy and now the girlfriend and boyfriend kiss element. Yeah. And then they come in doctor's costumes and freeze frame on that. And they come in and the monkey and the boy do a bit of, like, a joke about how if you're sensitive to, like, cooties or something. It's just quite a funny moment. And then other times...
That's the one you pick.
I like that. That was fun, because I was thinking, oh, that's so schmaltzy. And then it stops and it does a joke that I totally related to. So I guess I like that. But you didn't like that gag?
I think that was like probably the worst gag that they had.
Oh,
yeah, I reckon. Pretty bad ones.
I reckon they started off. Those two started off quite funny, and I thought, okay, there could be some into this.
Once
but then they give
them
such stupid things to do.
Yeah,
that they became annoying.
I didn't understand why. Was it because they were like on a sugar rush that they were driving through the lab?
They're just zany.
Yeah.
And no one was stopping them, and the kid was like air guitaring, and he had sweets all over his face, and I was like, oh, you're disgusting.
That was an odd.
And they dress as a scientist for no reason. Like, that's never explained why they dress and pretend to be a scientist.
Yeah, I mean, there was.
And then they're caught, and it's like, oh, you were caught doing it. What were you doing? What?
Oh yeah, and they noticed something illegal going on, but
they
I
noticed
wasn't
the,
in any way. I didn't have a clue what was going on. It's like
that's it. It comes up later on. It's the I can't remember what it's called. One of the racers uses it, and then he gets caught out, and it's like illegal because they're having an arena race. So it's like setting it up. That's it, spear hook. So they set it up for later on, but they set it up in a way that they got to writing the end of the final draft, and then thought, oh, we haven't set up the spear hook. We need a scene earlier on. So quick, dress the kid and the chimp up as a scientist for some reason, and they see it, and then they get caught. And
but they're just
but it
there.
Explain
to
be, what it is.
They're just there to be that extra element of cartooniness that's injected all the time to keep it.
But there's enough.
I don't know. Like I don't. But Ollie, are you a fan of the kid and the monkey element as well as just generally it? How did you take to the boy and his monkey friend?
It's a very strange thing. Even in the cartoons, it's a strange thing because they're always getting involved in kind of... It's like an Inspector Gadget with Penny and Brain.
Yeah.
They're always kind of stumbling around and being a little bit involved in what's going on. So in that sense, it's very true to the cartoon.
Yeah.
But in terms of the movie, only two things... It's really weird how they did those... I actually really liked... when suddenly it became manga panels and they were going towards each other. And they did that a couple of times. And the second time was really good because it was in one of the big fight sequences.
Yeah, and it was a joke as well because they just sort of grabbed the legs of the ninja or something. There's one that works.
And then some of the stuff doesn't work. And I think it's just... That's always the problem with these things, is knowing what to do with the kids.
And generally, what makes it a film that here on Spoiler Filled we decide to review is because it's a mixed bag of some really good stuff and some really bad stuff, often is the case. I will say about the kid, looking at what Abby's written, she would describe the little boy as being a combination of Corey Feldman, and John Belushi. Like, the personality of John Belushi in a little young Corey Feldman's face. And I think that is exactly what that kid was like.
He wasn't awful, but it was as if what the Wachowskis were asking him to do was sometimes.
It wasn't his fault.
He actually had quite good sort of comic timing, and his delivery wasn't too bad, apart from a couple of instances. But they were just giving him rubbish jokes.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. No, totally.
So, guys, I'll give everyone a chance to think of some other elements that we may have missed. But I think we need to come to the point where we express our overall thoughts. I mean, it's probably quite clear, but just last thoughts. And then before everyone gives their summary, then I'll read out Abby's. But before that, things we might have missed or things you might want to talk about that we haven't hit upon yet.
I thought there was too much music.
Okay.
I thought
there isn't a lot of quiet moments for contemplation in this film.
But I thought the score was it fits, I guess. But I thought the score was as exhausting as everything else.
Oh, but that suits, though. That is correct.
Yeah. But it was so, like, I can't imagine not having a migraine or a seizure if I'd watched this in the cinema.
Okay. Oliver, you got anything else you wanted to bring up or say about this film?
I'm looking at my notes. I'm trying to think if there's much to be said about Christina Ricci or not.
She was fine. Like, she did a decent job.
She had giant eyes.
Yeah, but that's just what she looks like.
Okay, I think the hair emphasises how bold eyes are. She was not in it that much, really, considering.
No, but okay, so it's very strange having a chimpanzee in the movie.
Just without explanation.
Yeah. Well, there he is.
It really throws you for a loop sometimes. Just, well, why is there a chimpanzee?
Do they adopt him? What's the deal with that? What are the legal ramifications of owning a chimp? Yeah.
Did they also adopt Sparky, though? Because I didn't. He was basically another chimpanzee.
Oh, yeah, their Australian mechanic who has a weird touching moment with Speed Racer, even though he's barely been in the movie, and then he's like...
Yeah, he has like two lines in the whole movie.
And then he has that moment,
They don't really have that much of a relationship. The relationship is more between Sparky and the father.
Yeah. It's quite weird.
It's a weird emotional beat at the end.
Yeah.
Which you just feel like they've thrown in because, like, ooh, this is what has to go in the climax.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if... May I ask a question?
Go on.
If we were all... Well, first of all, I have an idea for the ratings at the end.
Oh, Abby has suggested, think of a... famous car of any kind. She went for something, and I'll hold that off till we get there.
Well, I was going to suggest we all think of a Wacky Races character.
Well, that could work.
Okay, fine. But
go on.
What are the best kind of pseudo adaptations of Wacky Races we've seen so far in movies? Has anything really done it well?
Well, I guess the original sort of Wacky Racery film is what are they called, the Marvelous Men and their flying machines or something, and.
That's more planes, but
yeah.
Mad World, I suppose, is a kind
of there you go. There's wacky, one.
Yeah,
and there's a pretty good kind of Wacky Racer adaptation he's going on there.
Or Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whether or not that's good is debatable.
I quite like Cannonball Run. In a kind of a corny way.
But, yeah, me too.
Yeah. But okay, fine. There's also The Great Race, and
that's the one I was thinking of.
What's the one? And also there's Monte Carlo or Bust. I haven't seen it in ages. And what's the one with Rowan Atkinson?
Rat Race.
Yeah.
Rat Race. Okay. Yeah.
I like Rat Race enough.
Yeah, that is very much like it's a mad world. But this is the closest to like being about cars that are a little bit more than just, you know, like funny characters racing across a landscape. Whereas this is, you know, properly, the cars have weapons like video games, and it feels a little bit more like you said, Jimmy, FX. Like, there's a game called F-Zero X, which I've played, and Vigilante 8, which are both great Nintendo games. So it's quite good in that sense, that it's trying to be this race car fighty movie, which is, you know, that's quite different. Death Race 2000 or Death Race 3000? There's a Death Race movie that's a little bit like this, and the original one is a little too adult, in my opinion. But that's quite like this film. And Wacky Racer.
I can't think of anything else.
Anthony, what about you? Got anything we've missed that you think needs to be said?
No, not really. I think I've brought up most things. I guess the only other thing that you could mention is like the directors are clearly fans of anime, and that really shines through in their direction.
Yeah, that's a tick
box. Did with The Matrix too.
That's true. Well, a different kind of anime. That's,
yeah.
The Matrix was more kind of like the slower, darker anime, yeah. And this is more
proper
in common
kids.
With like the, like, I don't want to say Pokemon, but that's like the best example I can think of kind
a
of anime.
Modern equivalent of Speed Racer, I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will. It did have an authenticity that it could. It wasn't a case of the things we didn't like weren't because they didn't try. It's just we don't. Some of us don't think it quite pulled it off what they were going for.
Oh, I agree. You can see they've put a lot of effort and I'd say love into it. It's just kind of a shame that it doesn't glue together.
Okay, right. Well, I'll read out what Abby has written for me as best as I can. I apologise for any mistakes because I will read badly. But what Abby has written on her note is, in Speed Racer, an unrelenting spectacle, unique in vision and unsurpassed in its commitment to its own conceits. I enjoyed a great number of the facets of this movie, such as the comedy played as straight as a die, the heightened aesthetic, and the baby-faced Corey Feldman, what's that say? Poorly lit, maybe that was the character, the guy who played it? I don't know. To name but three. However, I have a problem with the core element of this movie, racing. I simply don't care for it, and since the movie is all about it, I am left unmoved. It is a real shame, because it could have been something I really loved otherwise. 6 out of 10, and her metaphor for the movie is a car, and her car that she is compared to is Keith Moon's Lincoln Continental. It could have been great, but it's no good to anyone at the bottom of a pool. So I guess, you know, that's what Abby thought. So, I'll tell you what, Ollie, I'll end on you, so that because you're the champion, you should finish. So, Anthony, final thoughts, maybe a car to metaphorically rate the movie on?
I'll try. I thought there was a lot of little things in this movie to like. I did, like, at the beginning, I was getting into it. I could see where they were going. But overall, the movie lacked the pace that they achieved, like, at the beginning. And it was too long. As someone who's seen Speed Racer, I reckon people can get a lot from it. There's a lot to pick out, and like, oh, that's a nice homage. And if you're a fan of the cartoon, there might be something there for you. But no, overall, I was left bored by the end, to be perfectly honest. And it had potential. There was real effort put into it. It's unique. But I think overall fails. I would give it about I'd be giving it a 6. I'd give it a 5, generously.
I don't like these numbers. These numbers are far too concise. I mean, the nice thing about it being Keith Moon's car in a pool is we don't actually know if that's a good rating system. But this number, the number gives you a good understanding. I'm not sure I should have read out Abby's number. But good, you've said, that's fine.
I think cars are a bad metaphor because it relies on people having a good knowledge of.
Yeah, which is where I'm failing here.
I have a
guess
decent one in mind.
Cars in media. Well, not that many, are there?
Well, you know, it's only suggested because Abby has already done it with that in mind. So, you know, I can only guess what she would say in another. If she had to pick, say, a wacky racer or something, I don't know who she'd pick. But James, you have something in mind, so you carry on with your summary and conclusion.
Okay. I thought there is a good film in here somewhere. There's a plot in there that makes sense and works well enough for a kids' film. there are characters who are fleshed out enough, and their relationships are good enough, and the cast is good enough that it can all potentially work, but so much stuff has been piled on top of it to try really hard to make it as colourful and as flashy as possible that it gets weighed down with the just the sheer amount of stuff of colour and too much action and too much attempts at humour rather than, you know, letting it just come out, and it sort of drowns under its own ambition. And the car metaphor is one of those Ford Fiestas that you'd see that's been destroyed by some boy racer who has made every modification he possibly can. You know, it's got big subwoofers in the back that are breaking the car every time they throb out a beat, rattling the frame.
Green
lit. It's got rims and spinners. It's got light, you know, neons underneath.
Yeah.
It's been colored all wrong, so it looks a bit sick. And, you know, there's a. It was already a decent car. You didn't need to overload it with all this stuff. And I think that's kind of what's happened here.
Okay.
But I admire its obvious affection for the source material.
Good. I don't know. You guys have been... I've agreed mostly with what you and Anthony have said so far. I think the main problem for me is I didn't engage with this concept that racing is amazing. So, because I don't think that, I find it hard to get on board with a family obsessed by it. And I think at times, when I wasn't...
Pops was unhinged.
Yeah. I liked a lot of it. There's a lot of... like, you've already said the good things I liked. So... I think he was authentically trying to be Speed Racer, the cartoon. I just don't think I would have enjoyed that as a kid either. And I think I can't get on board with what it's about. And then it is quite this loud, garish, over-the-top, colourful montage of madness. And at times I think it worked and was very dynamic, and at other times it dropped the ball. I don't know. It was a bit of a mix of good and bad. If it was to be a vehicle, it would be one of the F0X racer cars, because they're quite similar to the aesthetics of this film. The whole game is quite like this, but they've all jammed together and got a bit glitched out, and you've had to restart the game. It's like that. That is what this movie makes me feel. So to finish off, Ollie, what is your final thoughts and metaphor, if you've got one?
Well, obviously, I enjoyed this movie. I liked the pace, the quickness. I thought it was a big, sprawling, fun adventure of a film with a lot of flaws as well. I'm not saying it's perfect. It's just I consider it to be a lot more maligned than it deserves to be.
Sure.
And also, I absolutely loved the score. No.
I'm on your side there as well, Ollie. I quite liked it.
It's an excellent score. It's one of Michael Giacchino's best, and he's done a lot of really good scores.
Yeah, so shut up, Jamie. I have expressed no opinion, so I do not feel bad or good.
And apart from that, I think in a sense you have to watch... To enjoy this movie, you have to watch it uncynically. And even though I'm not at all interested in racing, I was able to get past that and basically watch it as a film.
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed it.
Some of the fights are amazing. I really did like the video game style fighting. And it's because the whole family does it and you don't expect it. It's quite good. It has ninjas.
I know, it has ninjas. It even has that thing they had in the James Bond movie where he was pretending to be Japanese.
Yeah, and they drop the poison down the string.
Yeah, I recognise that.
James Bond needs more colourful visual effects when he fights. Anyway, do you have a car or anything, Ollie? Or
it might be the gruesome twosome in the creepy coupe.
Is it right? Because I
kind of like them, even though they're in a really impractical car with a clock on it, which bats come out of, and sometimes a dinosaur
and ghosts, and yeah, it's quite a mad thing. I can kind of, if you know Wacky Races, that is not an unfitting example, I think. The creepy coupe. I think this movie, at times, can be so sort of wholesome, it kind of creeps me out a bit, to take your metaphor and manipulate it a bit. Anthony, did you think of a car, or are you not going to kowtow to our force rating system?
No, I've been trying to think. I almost had something like one of those like newfangledy cars that's, you know, it's unique and it's got some interesting aspects about it, but overall it just fails. No, well, not fails. It's just kind of it's
too much.
Too much.
Yeah, it's like those supercars they have on Top Gear, and it's just like, yeah. Well, no one's going to buy this. It costs millions of dollars, and it's too insane. But when you strip it back to the proper car that's underneath, it'll probably be all right.
Yeah, I was toying with something like that, but no, I'm not a car person, guys. You've asked the wrong person.
It's fine. That pretty much covers it, I think. So it just leaves us to say goodbye and thanks for listening and all that.
Oh, bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Thank
you for listening. Oh, and if you'd like to contact Filmbin, just leave us an email at filmbinmail@gmail.com. Leave a tweet on Twitter at filmbincrew, and look for Filmbin on Facebook. Thank you kindly.
Or just spray paint it on the side of a car and do a triple barrel roll and smash through my house window, and I'll read it off that as well.
That could work. Yeah. I'm going to do that next time I leave a comment.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.